Well, I ordinarily preach on the gospel, but when, you know, we're making our way through the first letter of John throughout the Epiphany, or the Christmas season up through Epiphany, the baptism of the Lord. And so it's, you just have to comment on this chapter four of the first letter of John. I mean, it is so profound. I mean, he takes all of these passages of Scripture and he condenses it into one key phrase: God is love. And what he means by that phrase is God is unconditional love. Now, of course, there's so much written in the Scriptures, so much from Jesus, so much from Paul, that's all kind of funneled into that one phrase, God is love, which we almost take for granted, right? I mean, it's so oft repeated, and it should be, absolutely should be. But, you know, where did John, I mean, how did he do it? I mean, he's so convinced of the unconditional love of God. He says that love, later on in chapter 4 of the first letter, he says love wipes out all fear, right? Because fear is concerned with punishment, but love's not concerned with punishment, right? And instead, you know, let love drive out all fear. And it just kept getting better and better and better as you go through the entire chapter, which, by the way, you'll have to endure other homilies on this week. But the key thing, of course, right now to see is what went into this singular phrase that has become, of course, so commonplace in our culture, so commonplace in Christianity. What did John do? You know, in my view, John, you know, looks at about four or five different things that are going on in Jesus' life, right? He's been with Jesus, you know, from the very, one of the first apostles called the sons of Zebedee. And of course, he's seen a lot, and he's heard Jesus talk about the synoptic command, Rabbi, which is the greatest of the commandments? And of course, Jesus, you know, says, Shema Israel, Elohim, Eloheinu, Elohim, Elecha, right? Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your mind, heart, soul, and strength, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And of course, this is such a huge deal. The idea that one singular command could, and then Jesus says it, sum up the law and the prophets. Holy smokes. Do you realize that by saying this, he not only picks the command, but remember what the rabbi said. Torah is reflected in the heart of God. The heart of God reflects Torah. If the commandment to love sums up Torah, right, the law of the Lord, and the prophets as well, says Jesus, if that's the case, then what is the heart of God? Love. Unconditional love. Put that into the formula for John. He's dwelling and thinking. The second thing that's going on is Abba, just the name Abba. You know, affectionate, loving, trustworthy, good, loving daddy. That's the name for God. And of course, Jesus says this over against the polemic against him. What do you, right, because Yahweh is the name of God revealed by Moses, which is a power name. You mean to say Yahweh, the master of the universe, the cause of to be, he who made all things to be, which came into being, that one is daddy, the affectionate, loving, trustworthy, warm daddy? Are you kidding me? He's awesome. He's all powerful. And Jesus goes, yep, that's exactly what I'm saying. There's no contradiction, none whatsoever. Okay, and of course, John's thinking, he's thinking about this. He's hearing the prodigal son parable, right? He's hearing what's going on, you know, that he knows that the Father in that parable is the definitive revelation of Jesus about his loving Father, Abba, right? That this is the one who, after the Son embarrasses and shames the family, rejects the father, rejects his election, shames his people, shames his election, goes to the land of the Gentiles, the Goyim, spends all the money on dissolute living and harlots and everything else, and then lives with the pigs and gets ritually unclean, everything else. The guy couldn't have done anything worse. Jesus really builds up the story. And then, at the end, what's revealed? The father takes him back. What? This does not compute in Pharisaic logic. That son should have been rejected out of hand. And what happens? The father, in addition to taking him back, doesn't even take him back as a servant, as the son pleads, right? He takes him back as a full son, giving him the ring of the family, the signet ring, right? Jewish men didn't wear rings for cosmetic purposes, had the signet of the family, the sign of the family, right on the ring, claiming him for the family. Once again, kills the fatted calf, everything else, embarrasses himself in front of his older son, has to go pleading to the older son to come back into the house and give everything to the older son immediately. He does it because he loves that boy unconditionally, not just in the midst of his sin, but through that sin and his repentance, he loves him all the more. That's just thinking. He's thinking. And he's finally saying, who's God? God is love. And he's unconditional love, just as Jesus revealed it. And so anyone who says, right, that they are of God should try to imitate God in that love. If you know of God, then you will try to imitate him in that love. And you have nothing to fear anymore, nothing, because love drives out all fear. Fear is about punishment. Love is about the banishment of punishment into the unconditionally loving arms of God. That's the good news that John dispels in that one three-word phrase that has become so commonplace, but is so utterly deep, so utterly processed through the affection, through the heart, through the compassion of this disciple that puts his head on Jesus' chest at the Last Supper, is so close to him and so thinks about these things that he calls himself the beloved disciple, the one whom Jesus loved. Not because he thought himself loved more than the other disciples, but because it was the most important thing that happened to him. That's what's in a name for an Israelite. And of course, we now get the distillation. Never miss its depth. Never miss the meaning that's laden into that simple three-word expression. God is love. For we can live by it and hope in it. And it will soon become a major source of our salvation, because Jesus died and rose for us. Amen.